Everyone, if you would all rise, and we're going to start with 391. Revive us again. Amen. We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thine glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine glory. Revive us again. We praise thee, O God, for thy spirit of light, who has shown us our Savior and banished our night. Hallelujah, thine glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine glory. Revive us again. All glory and praise to the Lamb that was slain, who has taken our sins and has cleansed every stain. Hallelujah, thine glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine glory. Revive us again. Revive us again. Fill each heart with thy love. May each soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine glory. Revive us again. Amen.
Remain standing as we look to the Lord in prayer. It's been a good day today. God has blessed with showers of blessing all over the place. We call it rain, but to us it was a blessing, wasn't it? And still is. And tonight we're happy to have Brother Norman Higgins with us, one of our missionaries in Mexico. And Brother Higgins, would you lead us in prayer and then give us a report on your wife, please? Okay, you can come up here to do that.
Father, we do thank you now for the many blessings of the day. Thank you for this rain that you gave us. Thank you for this opportunity now to be back in your house this evening and come to have our cups filled. And just pray that we walk away.
Yes.
Greatly blessed for having been here. I pray now that you'll just be with this service, bless every part of it. May each part of it be done in a way to be pleasing to you and in accordance with your perfect will. I pray for the invitation part of the service. The one here tonight that needs to make a decision to count for glory for eternity. May this be the night.
Amen.
In Christ's name for his sake.
Amen. 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 Thank you, and you may be seated. I'm going to ask Brother Higgins, if you will, come up. This past week, his wife, Gloria, has had some health problems. She's had quite a few lately, but this one is one that put her in the hospital again, and we want to know from him about how she's doing.
Thank you, Pastor. We appreciate you folks and your prayers for us all the time. This past week, Gloria got an infection from somewhere. We don't know where. She had severe diarrhea and vomiting. Her blood pressure went down nearly to nothing. Her sugar went way up over 600. We called ambulance out and got her to the hospital. They started pumping her full of antibiotics, but didn't know what to give her, so they gave her just a kind of a smorgasbord, I guess, of different things to give her, and seemed to finally get it down, got her diarrhea and vomiting stopped. Put her in ICU for a while, and then finally moved her up to a room, and she is home now, but she is still nauseated, even though she's not got the other symptoms. Just pray that you'd ask that you pray, continue to pray for her. We don't really know what the problem was. They're saying it's some kind of a stomach thing, but like I say, it sounds like she still got something. So just keep her in your prayers, if you would. And we appreciate you folks. Thank you.
All right. Amen. We have the best thing we can do is pray.
Amen.
Prayer. God changes things. Amen. He's a healer. He loves us. So let's trust that. Amen. Turn over to 251. 251. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil or victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be wider, much wider than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily His praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Amen. We're going to turn over to 227. And on the last verse, if everyone would rise and if the ushers would come at the end of the song, and we'll take an offering. Amen. 227. Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name, glory to His name, glory to His name. There to my heart was a blood applied. Glory to His name. I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where He took me in. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. Oh, precious fountain that saves from sin, I am so glad I have entered in. There Jesus saves me and keeps me clean. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Would everyone rise, please? Come to this fountain so rich and sweet. Cast your poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Amen.
Brother Roger, will you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. Amen. Thank you. we're glad you're here tonight, and we're going to have some more good preaching. I have an idea it's going to be about Jonah. I was listening when you made that announcement this morning, see? And we're going to hear some more about Jonah. And in the meanwhile, while you're preparing your hearts for that, Jackie, wasn't this your night to sing too? Huh? You and Roger? The two of you. We got the double whammy tonight. Amen. You going to sing down there or up there? I want to make sure it's recorded. Because Wayne likes to listen to it, okay? So do this one for Wayne.
Like the woman at the well, I was seeking for things that could not satisfy. And then I heard my Savior speaking, draw from my well that never shall run dry. Lord, I lift it up, Lord, come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it. Craving the pleasures earthly things afford, but none can match the wondrous treasure that I find in Jesus Christ my Lord. Fill my cup, lift it up, Lord, come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it up and make me brother, if the thing this world gave you leave hunger that won't pass away, my blessed Lord will come and save you. If you kneel to him and humbly pray, Lord, I lift it up, Lord, come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup, fill it and make me whole. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord, come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. make me whole.
Amen.
All right. Well, we're glad tonight that Brother Langley could bring his wife with him. We missed her this morning, but she's gracing our service tonight, and we're glad to have all of you here in our service tonight to hear Brother Langley preach another message on Jonah. So come on up.
Thank you, Brother Wetzel. All right, appreciate you. I told my wife earlier that my helpmeet was missing in action this morning, and so it is good for her to be here, or I'm grateful that she's here this evening, and thank you for praying for her this morning. It is an encouragement to come to a church like this. I've been at a lot of churches where it just doesn't seem like people like to sing, and I don't understand that, and I'm grateful for a church that loves to sing. You know, we're supposed to sing. I was looking, Psalm 92. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. That's a good thing. And so it's a good thing that Chula Vista Bible Baptist Church is actively involved in singing. That's a blessing. Well, that's not the message. All right, if you would, turn your Bibles over to Jonah. Jonah chapter 1. Shouldn't be hard for you to find it. I told you to put your little ribbon there this morning, so just go right to that ribbon and open it up. And this evening, we're going to go ahead and read verses 1 through 3 again, but we're going to continue reading all the way down to verse number 10. Once you found your place there, if you would, stand with me for the reading of God's Word. Giving him reverence and respect, he is so worthy of it. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. And this was the sad account that we looked at this morning. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, little g, and cast forth the wares, and were in the ship into the, and I'm sorry, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? That's not a compliment right there. That's not a compliment whatsoever. Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said every one to his fellow, Come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for the privilege that we have to open your word. Your word is truth. It's perfect. Father, and it was inspired of thee, it was preserved of thee for us, for our benefit. And so, Father, I thank you for it. I do pray, Lord, that your perfect will would be accomplished this evening. Father, we've been praying for weeks now that this week, these series of messages, Lord, would stir our hearts and bring us to that point of revival, that we would be closer to you than we have in the past. Father, that we would purpose in our lives to be completely submitted to your will and to your word. And so, Father, again, we thank you for the privilege that we have to assemble together tonight. It was a blessing to be able to sing praises unto you and Father, to give back to thee as well. And so now, Lord, I pray that you'll bless this time of the service where we worship you through the preaching of your word, and that, again, the Holy Spirit might have his perfect will and way in each and every heart here tonight. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Again, we talked this morning that this is one of those books in the Bible, in the Word of God, that is one of the most criticized books. It is scrutinized. It's been cast aside by many so-called scholars, those that that write, if you will, some of these commentaries. And it's all because of the big fish story that we talked about this morning. You know, this idea that there's no fish that can swallow a man and then spit him up on the beach some 3 days later. And again, this morning we talked about there's many things in the Word of God that we don't understand, we can't comprehend, and yet we know that God's Word is truth. God's Word is perfect. It's pure. And so just as God spoke absolute everything into existence, just as God divided the Red Sea that the Israelites could cross on dry ground, just as Jesus Christ himself being born of a virgin, dying on the cross of Calvary, and for being dead for 3 days and raising again, conquering sin, hell, and the death for you and for me. And so those truths are set, if you will, in my heart, and I pray that that those truths are set in your heart as well. And so we can look at this portion of Scripture and have absolute confidence, knowing that it was preserved for us, that we might glean from it, that we might learn from it, that we might become closer to God than we were yesterday. That we might be restored, that we might be revived to that place where the Lord would have us to be. But again, the world that we live in today would cast a book like this aside and not believe it. I was talking with an extended relative I think it was Friday, and he was telling me how marvelous the human body was and how sophisticated it was and how it was amazing how everything worked together, and when you look at the earth and nature and all of those things, and he was just absolutely amazed at the complexity of the world that we live in, of the human body, and he attributed it all to chance, attributed it all to evolution. And it's amazing because that's where most of our world is today, believe it or not. They have faith in something that just absolutely makes no sense, but yet they can't comprehend, or they will not, because let's face it, they choose not to believe truth because it's found in the Word of God, and they just decide not to believe that. You know, our world today does some really silly things, you know, when we think about it. I was thinking about this not too long ago. You know, the popularity of something like the lottery. You know, people put their faith in something that is almost impossible for it to come to pass. You know, I don't know a whole lot about the lottery. I've never played it. But from what I understand, there's 53 balls in there, and they're all being mixed up and churned up. And you're hoping, you're putting your faith that you are going to be that one person in 23 million that's going to win the big prize, if you will. I mean, you have one in 53 chance just to get one number. And then you multiply that again, and you multiply it again, and you multiply it again, and you multiply it again. And really, your odds are that one in 23 million. And people will do that. I mean, there's millions and billions of dollars that are collected by people that put their faith in something like that, and they can't trust the Word of God as being accurate and pure. I don't understand that. But I'm grateful that the Holy Spirit of God worked in my heart and settled that a long time ago. And I hope tonight that He has done the same thing for you. Lord is in it. You know, we're talking about a time in Jonah's life when there was a storm. And we witnessed a little bit of a storm today. And so we can some way get a little glimpse of maybe what took place here in Jonah's life. But again, let's do a rewind what we talked about this morning. We have the man Jonah. He's a prophet. He's a preacher. He's a servant of God. He's a messenger. He has a relationship with God. God has come to him with a task. He's come to him with a plan, if you will. And so we see here in verse 1, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it." He's saying, preach to them, for their wickedness has come up before me. And so that was Jonah's task, was to go to this great city, this city that was a 3 days journey from one side to the other, had a population of about 120,000, as we will see. This was the capital city, if you will, probably one of the largest cities during this time. The Assyrian Empire, the enemy, if you will, of the children of Israel. And so we see here that God has called Jonah, one of his prophets, to go to this place called Nineveh and preach repentance unto them. But here's the problem. Jonah decided on his own that he wasn't going to do that. He chose that he wasn't going to do that because in his mind it didn't make sense. This Assyrian Empire was against Israel, and they were wicked. They had no relationship with God. They worshiped false gods. And so in Jonah's mind, they didn't need to be preached unto and give them a chance to repent. No, they needed to be judged. They needed to be treated just as Sodom and Gomorrah was treated. There needed to be judgment in Jonah's eyes. And so we see here where Jonah flew. Remember what his name means? A dove. And that's exactly what Jonah did. You know, when we think of the name Jonah, you know, we don't think of a great revival. We think of a prophet that ran. Let me ask you tonight, if your name was mentioned before God, before His children, when it came to God's word, His plan for your life, what would your name represent? Would people think faithful? Always serving, being obedient? Or would your name be somewhat compared to like Jonah, a runner, disobedient? You know, I don't think I probably brought it to this conclusion this morning like I would have liked to, but you know, God's calling on a man's life is man's opportunity to receive a blessing That's really what it comes down to. Jonah had the opportunity to receive a blessing by submitting himself to God's will. But in reverse is what happened. See, God, man's obedience to God's plan is an opportunity to see God's power too.
Amen.
You know, you think about that. I didn't mention this morning. I wanted to, but for the sake of time, think about where our world would be without the disciples. You know, Jesus is walking by and Simon Peter is there. He's cleaning his nets. They just came in from an all-night fishing trip. James and John are next to them, the sons of Zebedee. And Jesus is walking by. He's got a multitude of people following him because of the way that he's been teaching, the way that he's been preaching, some of the miracles that people have seen. And he comes to that place and he gets into Simon Peter's boat and he asks to be thrust out just a little ways, and he uses that as a platform, if you will, and he's preaching God's word, and people are changed. People are awestruck, if you will. And then as the preaching is over, Jesus tells Simon Peter, let's go out, let's do some fishing. Think about what Simon Peter would have missed out on. Think about what James and John would have missed out on, because after fishing all night long and not catching a single thing because of Jesus' power, because of Jesus' control, they go out and pretty much sink the boats. I mean, those nets are so full that I mean, they're ready to go down. And it's because of those disciples, if you remember, that the world was turned upside down because of their obedience, because of them submitting themselves to the very word of God. And we have the account right here with Jonah that he has done just that. He missed out at this point in our account. He's missed out on receiving the blessing. He has missed out on seeing God's power firsthand. Because in verse 3 it says, but Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. And we said, you honestly, you can't run. You can't get yourself out of the presence of the Lord. And I'm so grateful for that. And so he went down to Joppa and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof. I wonder if Jonah realized if the payment that he was making was really going to be worth it. Because listen, there's always a payment when it comes to disobedience. And so we find here that Jonah is out of God's will. He's running. He's going in the complete opposite direction from Nineveh. He's going down to Joppa and then on his way to Tarshish. And look in verse 4. I'm grateful for this. I'm grateful for God's love. Because even when we are outside of God's will, he loves us way too much to let us alone. You know, I think about my own children. And at times when they were little, I'd find them in places where they shouldn't be, like playing in the road. I love them way too much to allow them to continue to play in the street. And so I'd go out there and I'd get them. I'd have to do some correcting. I'd have to do some rebuking. I'd have to do some discipline, if you will. But all of that was in love. And that's exactly what we see here in this account, is now that Jonah is running, God loves Jonah way too much to just let him go. And so he begins to deal with him. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. This was not some ordinary storm. Being from Florida, this is what we would call a Category 5 hurricane. This was a cyclone of sorts. This was a typhoon, if you will. These winds were being picked up by the hand of God, if you will, and it was affecting these mariners, these sailors. Just like Peter, James, and John, they were fishermen. They knew how to fish. And yet, being apart from Christ, they didn't catch much. But with his help, man, they filled up the boat. And we see that these mariners, these sailors, there's no doubt that they knew what to do. They had experience. What was their job? They would take cargo from point A to point B. And so they were here at Joppa, and they had a task. They had a task to take that cargo and take it to Tarshish. And once they got it there, they were going to get paid for it. And so they were just going to get a little extra money with Jonah being on board. But we see that this is not just an ordinary trek from Joppa to Tarshish for these mariners. They were afraid. They were fearful of their lives. Well, how do you know that? Well, because all they were concerned about was their lives. They had no concern for the cargo anymore. We'll see that here in a minute. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, talking about these great winds that were slamming up against this boat as if it were going to come apart. We see that in verse 4. And there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. I don't want to be in a broken ship, especially during a storm. And that's exactly what was taking place here. Then the mariners, these sailors, were afraid and cried every man unto his God. I think we all can come to the conclusion that when things don't happen the way that we would like them to happen in our life, it produces prayer. It produces a time where we call out to God and asking for his intervention, if you will, asking for his hand to alleviate this storm in our life, to alleviate this difficulty that's taking place. And that's many times what God does in our lives, is he allows things to take place in order to bring us back to him. We see again, Jonah's running. What is God trying to do? He's trying to bring Jonah back into fellowship with him. He's trying to bring him back into that place of obedience. He's trying to bring him back into that place of complete submission to God's word. And many times God does. He has to bring uncomfortable situations into our lives. Events that on our own we would not choose to go through. Because why? Because they're uncomfortable. Because they're scary. Because we don't like them. But the reason God does that is to bring us back into fellowship with him. And so we see that take place in these sailors' lives at this point. They're afraid. They cry every man unto his God. And now we see where they're casting forth the wares. Those wares are those items that they're about to get paid for. If they get those wares to Tarshish, if they get those pieces of cargo, if they get that item that they were supposed to get to the person there that will be receiving them on the dock, then they're going to get paid their money. Nobody in here, I think, likes to work for free. I know my boys don't. But they're not living for free, or they're not working for free. But we see here, they're no different than us. They don't want to work for free. So why is it that they would cast this cargo overboard? Because they're concerned for their lives. They're afraid that if they don't lighten the ship is going down. And it's not going to do any good if we are at the bottom of the sea, if we're at the bottom of the ocean with this cargo. It's better for us to get rid of this cargo and get ourselves safely to the closest port that we can possibly find ourselves, that place of safety. And so that's what they were doing. They were casting forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. I want you to picture this, because this is pretty amazing. We're talking about a ship that's almost coming apart as a result of this storm. The winds are, they're cooking, they're blowing. There's snapping and cracking taking place in this ship. These mariners that are probably not even spiritual individuals, they're worshiping, they're praying unto false gods, but they're doing anything in their power to save themselves. And so they're praying to their gods, they're casting overboard this cargo, right? This is a scary time for them. They've been on the water numerous times, and they are in fear for their life. And Jonah's downstairs sleeping. Do you see a problem with that? I'm a sound sleeper. And there's some serious thunderstorms in Florida. There's some serious thunderstorms in Louisiana, where we just came from. Thunderstorms out here, not so much. The thunderstorm that we had here just a couple weeks ago, I remember everybody sitting out on their porches, and they were just like, wow, looking at the lightning, and kids were screaming from the thunder. That's not thunder. Go to Florida. Go to Texas. Go to Oklahoma. You'll hear some thunder. You'll see some lightning. And yet Jonah is in the bottom of the boat sleeping. I'm a sound sleeper, but I'm not that sound. I've been in bed in the middle of the night, and those thunderstorms will roll through, and the cracking of the lightning will take place. It'll wake me up. It didn't wake Jonah up. Why? Jonah had removed himself so far from God's will. We could say this about Jonah, and I'm probably getting into a little bit of my message tomorrow night, but listen, we're talking about a servant of God that is in a place that we would consider today as backslidden. He has a hard heart. He has a cold heart for the things of God. He has removed himself so far from God that he is in a place that we could even describe as complacent. Has not a care in the world. You have individuals upstairs on the deck of the ship praying to their gods and throwing over the cargo because they think that they're about ready to lose their life. And it's all because of Jonah's disobedience. Don't think that you can run from God and be out of God's will and it affect nobody else but you. Because that's untrue. You know, you think of, man, there's some terrible stories out here. True accounts of families being ripped apart because of a disobedient father. Because of a disobedient husband. Because of a disobedient wife. There's churches today that are coming apart at the seams because of disobedient deacons and disobedient preachers and disobedient pastors and song leaders and whatever the case might be, Sunday school teachers, Christian school principals. Churches are falling apart. What's taking place? They're in a storm. The church is in the storm. The family is in the storm. And it's all because of disobedience. Amen. So don't ever think that you being disobedient won't affect anybody else because you are lying to yourself. These individuals right here are fearful for their life because of Jonah. Let's not forget about the individuals in Nineveh right now. God has already come to Jonah and said, go unto Nineveh and cry unto them. You know, just like today, nobody is promised to tomorrow. Our life is but a vapor. One day it's there, and then the next it's gone. It's vanished. We only have today to make the decisions that God wants us to make. And there's some individuals, no doubt, in Nineveh that would have had the opportunity to repent of their sins and put God first in their life. But because of Jonah's disobedience, there's no doubt in my mind that there's probably people in hell today because of Jonah's disobedience. Let me put it this way. I'm looking for that right word. Listen, if we put off, we can be obedient, but in a couple days. Listen, if we delay obedience, it's just as bad as disobedience altogether. We need to be ready to submit ourselves to God immediately when the Holy Spirit of God calls upon us to do that. So we see again, then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares and were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. What are you doing down here, Jonah? How is it that we can be going through this storm and you are down here oblivious to the danger, oblivious to the difficulty that we're going through upstairs? Why don't you do something about it? Why don't you pray to your God? We've already prayed to our God and nothing has taken place. Please pray to your God. Do we see Jonah praying at this point? Absolutely not. Again, Jonah is at the point where he is so disconnected, and we can be there too. We can allow ourselves to be right where Jonah is at this point. Well, how do we do that? Through disobedience. Through discarding God's word over and over and over again. And we can be right there. I'm not pointing fingers. I don't know your hearts. Only God knows. But think about how the disciples turned this world upside down because of their obedience. Think about what Jonah did. And we're going to talk about this in the coming days. After Jonah repented of his sin and got right and went to Nineveh, we're talking about a major revival that took place. We're talking about souls that got saved. We're talking about people that were introduced to the true and living God, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. We're talking about an event that was absolutely amazing because of one man. Do you know what could happen in this church if we just had one obedient person that really got on fire for God? Do you know what could happen in Chula Vista if just one church got on fire for God and was completely submitted to His will? We'll never know if we don't submit ourselves to God's will. We'll never know what? We'll never know God's blessings. We'll never get to experience God's power if we don't have faith in trusting Him. And it might not make sense. We might not be able to put one and one together and come up with two. But God never asked Jonah to go and make them repent. God never told Jonah, I want you to go there and I want you to cattle everybody into one place and I want you to preach unto them and I want you to preach and preach and preach until absolutely everybody trusts me. That's not what he said. He said, I just want you to go and to cry unto them because I have seen their wickedness. That's what we're supposed to be doing. He told the church, and if you're saved and if you're baptized, then you are a member of the body of Christ and you have a great commission to go ye therefore. Amen. And to preach and to teach and to see these ones baptized and be added to the church. And if you're not a part of that, then you're missing out on that opportunity that God has given to you. You're missing out on what power God wants to do in your life. But it's your choice, and it's my choice. There's so many churches today that are getting smaller, and ultimately, you know what's taking place is they're dying. They're getting so small that they're unable to pay the bills. People are getting offended. People are leaving. And there's a statistic out there, I don't know how accurate it is, but they say that 800 churches close their doors every year. And churches that are started, good, Bible-believing, New Testament churches, there's only a fraction of those that are getting started. It's harder to start churches today than it was 30, 40, 50 years ago. I'm telling you, through experience, it's a lot harder. It takes a lot longer. And I know some of these older preachers, they say, just get out there. I've gotten out there, and I know that it's all based on God's will. I did exactly what he would have me to do, and I followed him. I obeyed him through and through, the whole way from the beginning to end. And I know that he used that time to grow me and to grow our family and to prepare us for what we're doing now. But we need to purpose to serve the Lord and to be obedient unto him, because he has a purpose for this church. He has a purpose for you individually when it comes to this church. We mentioned this a little bit this morning. You are a member of the body of Christ. And if you have a little hangnail on your body, it affects the whole body. You break an arm, your whole body's going to know it. And if there's a member of your body that has to be amputated, your body knows it. It has to recoup in other areas in order to compensate for that missing member. And listen, you have a place in this church. You are an important member of this church. And when you're not here and you're not functioning as you were designed to function, it affects the church. We need to be obedient unto him. We need to ask the Lord. Listen, we can't do anything in and of ourselves, but with Christ, which strengtheneth me, right? I can do all things. We can reach. You can reach Chula Vista for Christ. This church can be a lighthouse to this area. And I'm telling you, this is a great city just like Nineveh was. There's a great population here. And just like any other city in the world, this is a wicked city. How can you say that, Brother Joe? Because our world in general is living contrary to God. If Chula Vista wasn't a wicked city, this church would be running 3,000. It would have had to have moved locations over and over and over again, unless maybe you bought up the houses around this area and just built a huge complex. But that's not the case. We, as Christians, need to figure out what God has for our lives. How do we do that? Search his word. Sit under the preaching of his word and submit ourselves to the leading of the Holy Spirit. That's what he wants to do in our lives. But the sad thing is many of us find ourselves being complacent, just like Jonah was, in the bottom of the ship, fast asleep, unconcerned of the dangers that are lurking about as a result of what he did not do. You know, I think I mentioned this morning, I know I was talking to Pastor's son-in-law. I, too, was an airline pilot and flew for Delta for about 7 years. Anyway, I had already turned in my notice, and we had packed up the family, and we had moved to Oklahoma for Bible college, and we weren't there very long, and I got a phone call from a friend of mine, and they wanted to know if I was okay. And of course I'm okay. Why do you ask? Well, there's been an aircraft accident. It took place in Lexington, Kentucky, and it was an aircraft that I flown. That very aircraft, I had spent many, many hours in that aircraft. Matter of fact, the co-pilot that was flying the aircraft when it went down, I flew on numerous trips with him. And that aircraft went down, and so it was a smaller aircraft. It only seated 50 in the back, but with the crew, there was a total of 53. And so they weren't completely full. But 47 of the 48 people on board perished. And the only person that survived was that co-pilot. And I can remember many times having a spiritual conversation with him in the cockpit. I was able to give him a little travel Bible that he saw me reading when we were at altitude many times. And he had many questions for me, and I answered as many of those questions as I could, but I never had the opportunity to lead him to Christ. But here's the thing. God saw fit to put a storm in this man's life. And it wasn't a storm of wind and rain. He wasn't in a ship on the sea, but he was on a ship that was supposed to be in the air. And it wasn't in the air very long before it came down. That's a storm, my brother and sister. He was in the hospital, induced coma for about 3 or 4 weeks. He had his leg amputated. He had plates of metal that were sewn into his face. He was paralyzed from the waist down. And God used that to get his attention. And I can remember after knowing who it was and the relationship that we had, I was able to talk to his wife. I was able to talk to his mother and was able to get a hold of him over the phone. And praise the Lord that I was able to lead him to the Lord. And it's all because that there's sometimes that God will just let us go and go and go. And then God says, that's enough. I'm going to bring a storm. I'm going to bring that thing, that event, that's going to touch him and going to show him that I'm real and that I love you. And a lot of people don't understand some of the storms, some of the difficulties that we go through. People question God's love. But God is a loving God. And we have to remember that he is perfect. He is holy. He is righteous, and no matter what you're going through, understand this. He loves you, and he's doing this for your good. He's trying to bring you to that point of complete submission. The reason why that aircraft went down was because those individuals were complacent. You know, aircraft pilots have checklists to go through to make sure that they don't miss steps. And they missed a lot of steps. And it affected people. And it affected those people's people. And again, their disobedience, if you will, to that checklist affected a lot more than just their families. And I want you to realize tonight that your complacency, your spiritual complacency, can affect others. It's affecting others right now. And you know, and I know when it comes to my heart, whether I'm obedient unto the Lord or not. You know if you have found yourself asleep in the ship. You know if maybe the storm that's taking place around you is the result of disobedience. And I'm not saying that every storm is the result of disobedience. I'm not saying that at all. Because there's many times that the Lord will allow us to go through, not because of disobedience, but just because he's trying to grow us and to mature us and give us opportunities to glorify him. Many times, you think about this, I've gone through difficulties, not necessarily for my benefit, but for my children's benefit. Did Moses have to wander in the wilderness for 40 years because of what he had done? No, it was because of the disobedience of the children of Israel. And my children, I pray, will make some wise, godly decisions in the future based on the testimony that I had going through storms and difficulties in my own life. I want you to get this. People are watching you. Your testimony does affect others. Your neighbors that see you faithfully leaving for church every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, they're watching you. And there will be that one day where they'll come and they'll ask you a question. There will be a day when they're hurting and they're struggling and they've seen the things that you've gone through and yet you have been found faithful. They're going to come and they're going to ask. And that will be your opportunity to glorify God. That'll be your opportunity to be obedient unto the Lord and see His power and to be blessed because of your obedience. So let me encourage you tonight. If you know 100% that you are a child of God, praise the Lord. But don't find yourself like Jonah did, asleep in the boat with the storms raging. Do something about it. Submit yourself to God's will and watch Him do a work, because He wants to do a work in your life. He wants to do a work in your heart. But you have to be willing to say, "Yes, Lord, yes." Let's pray. Father, again, we thank You so much for Your word. We thank You for Your faithfulness. We thank You for Your patience. Lord, I'm grateful for the events in my own life that have drawn me closer to You. And Lord, I know that many times in my own life I've prayed that You would bring difficulty in my life to show Yourself faithful, that would grow me and mature me and help me to be the man that You would have me to be. Father, I know that my wife depends on me. I know that my children depend on me. I know that my church depends on me. Father, I know that my city depends on me according to Your word. And Lord, if I am found complacent, Lord, it doesn't just affect me, it affects all those around me. And so, Lord, I pray that You would just do a work that only You can do. I pray for the pricking of the Holy Spirit in the hearts of Your people, that You would put a zeal, that You would put a desire, Lord, to be that submitted vessel unto honor. Father, help us not to be a Jonah. When somebody mentions our name, Lord, I pray that our testimony would be considered faithful and obedient and a true servant of Thee. And so again, Father, thank You so much for the opportunity that I've had to share Your word with these dear people. And Father, I do pray that Your perfect will would be accomplished here at Chula Vista Bible Baptist Church. I pray, Lord, that this church would be a lighthouse, that this church, Lord, would be the salt, would be the light that this dark city, and I'm not saying anything about Chula Vista that You don't already know. And it's not just this town, it's towns, it's cities all across the United States, all across the world, Father, that need to be cried unto, as Jonah did unto Nineveh here, as we will see. So, Father, again, I pray that Your will would be accomplished. I pray that You would be with this time of invitation, and that You would help Your people to know what it is that You're dealing in their hearts about tonight. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
497.
Yeah.
Let's just have the piano continue to play. Let me just ask some questions this evening. With nobody looking, every eye closed, every head bowed. If you would be honest with yourself and you would say, you know, Brother Joe, what you mentioned this morning, I'm not 100% sure that if I were to die today that I would spend all of eternity with God, because, you know, I've relied on my obedience, my good works, you know, but deep down in my heart, I don't know if I would spend eternity with God if I were to die today. Is there anybody like that? You might just raise your hand and put it right back down. I'm not going to come and get you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to be able to pray for you tonight. Is there anybody tonight that you might say, I'm not sure if I'm saved or not. I'm not sure if I'm a Christian. I'm not sure if I've been born again. Because our world wants to say, as long as you're pretty good, you'll end up in heaven, because God's a loving God, and He is. But the Word of God says ye must be born again. And so if you're not sure if you're born again, would you just raise your hand and put it right back down? I just want to pray for you. I won't mention your name. Is there anybody here tonight that you would honestly say, you know, the Holy Spirit did speak to me tonight. I have been that complacent Christian, if you will. I've kind of been asleep, like Jonah was when it came to the dangers that are around me when it comes to other people's salvations. And I haven't really been the Christian that the Lord wants me to be. And so, Brother Joe, would you pray for me? Is there anybody like that? You might raise your hand up. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Pray for me. I know that I've not really been living the Christian life that the Lord would have me to be. I'm kind of complacent, but I want to be different. I want to be changed. I want to rededicate my life to serving the Lord. I want to make a difference. I want to be like the disciples of old. I want to turn this world upside down for Christ. Anybody like that tonight? Say, pray for me, Brother Joe. Amen. 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 Well, listen, you can. You can get down on a knee. You can pray right there in your seat. And you can just say, Lord, thank you for the message. Help me to be the Christian that you would have me to be. Help me to be a witness to my family. Help me to be a witness to my neighbors. Help me to be a witness in my community. Help me to make a difference. I rededicate my life to you. Father, again, I thank you so much for the opportunity tonight. Thank you for these hands that were raised. And Lord, I just pray again that you would revive hearts that only you can. Father, bring us to that point of zealous Christianity, if you will. Father, help us to be obedient to thee. Father, thank you so much for your patience. Thank you for loving us and dealing with us as a father deals with a son. Thank you so much, Father, for your word, and thank you for the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. And I do pray for these uplifted hands, Lord, that you would encourage, that you would help, that you would comfort in these last days, Lord. Help us to be the witnesses that you would have us to be. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor.
Tomorrow evening at 6:30, we'll meet again here and hear another message. And I hope that each and every one of you can come and will come and try to bring somebody with you. If you enjoy these services like I did today, tell somebody about it tomorrow and bring them out to the house of the Lord. You're dismissed tonight. Thank you for coming. May the Lord bless you real good.